You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, and the biggest Notre Dame fan this side of the Mississippi, Tony Casillas. What's going on, my man?
Yeah. First of all, let's just pull the curtain back. You know, during our podcast, when we're recording here on Friday morning, you know, I get up early in the morning, so I do a Big 12, do a Sirius XM show.
That's right. Ari Temkin, the loser, yeah?
Yeah. I've yet to ask him the story about Orlando Scandrick. I'm going to get to that someday. So I decided since, you know, I don't have my makeup on or anything like that, and you can actually see me video wise when we do our broadcast, that I wanted to just throw the ball cap on. Well, the ball cap that I have is a golf hat. It's called Live Lucky, and it's a brand of golf hats, and it actually has a 4-leaf clover on the front. I believe that's 4-leaf.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah. I had to look at it. I didn't remember what. So anyway, you made reference to it being Notre Dame, and although it is, you know, St. Patrick's Day weekend for, you know, the Irish, which I am part Irish, you had to refer to it as a Notre Dame hat. And, you know, it's kind of like everyone's perception of the Dallas Cowboys. You either love them or hate them. Well,
you've got a good reason to hate Notre Dame.
Maybe the latter.
Yeah, you've got a good reason to hate Notre Dame.
But I'm Catholic, so I can't really hate that much. So, but yeah, whatever you want to say, like the Irish. Hey, all I want is be a lucky Friday. So I'll work with that big fella.
Well, that's good. I'm personally right now, the golf gear that I'm into is Bill Murray's line. Do you have any William Murray stuff? Because I'm a big fan.
No, I haven't.
Dude, I'll send you a link. He's got this line. I got my dad a button up for Christmas, and they have polos and hats and stuff. They've got some cool colors and cool styles.
Well, he's not the most color coordinated dude, you know, because you know I watch him. You know, obviously from Caddyshack, but when he plays in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and he's just great for the game. So I'm just kind of – so is it like a mix-and-match brand? What is it dry fit? What? Give me a description real quick.
Like the shirts are kind of polyester, not quite dry fit, but definitely good for a round. I mean, the colors aren't bad or weird, but like he's not afraid to use something like lime green. I'll say that. They're good. They're awesome. So I'll send you, like I said, I'll send you some.
You can't go wrong with Bill Murray, right? Especially when you talk about Caddyshack, which I think is arguably one of the top golf movies or movies ever made. But that's just me and you.
Agreed.
A little biased to golf.
Speaking of, because this is that time of year, we're going to get to Cowboys in a second, but who you got this weekend in the players?
Oh, gosh. I was watching some of it this morning. That's a great question. Yeah, I always got to go with Tiger. I think he was 2 under yesterday. But, it's such a great feel. It's just kind of hard to pinpoint one dude.
I guess
whoever hits it the straightest – hits it on the green putts. That's the guy I want. But I guess I'll go with Dustin Johnson, maybe.
It's not a bad pick. You know, we're recording Friday morning. Tigers had a rough Friday morning or a rough end. This kills me because when it comes to the four majors and the players, it bothers me when an American does not win. You know, obviously, you know, the Open isn't ours, but this is our home turf. You know what I mean? Like we've got
a world field. I mean, it's one of the best fields in, you know, assembled for golf. And this is kind of, I guess this isn't a major, but it should be a major, right? It's a tremendous, setting, but I don't know. I haven't yet. I'll go with him and who else? I mean, there's, you know, that golf course is just, it penalizes you so much, but I'll go with the gunslinger, Dustin Johnson.
I hope you're right. My pick upsets me. I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood, just because I feel like he's been knocking at the door, and I feel
well,
like...
Wait a second. Didn't you just...
Oh, that's what I said. It bothers me. I mean, but I'm telling you who I think's going to win. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I would love to see DJ get it, but...
But you said you want an American to win, and you just kind of contradicted yourself. But you picked Tommy Fleetwood?
Well, I want an American to win. That's what I'm saying. But if I had to put money on somebody, I'm putting it on Tommy
Fleetwood. Well, he's, 8-under right now? So that's a pretty good choice right now, brother.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm putting money, I'm not messing around.
Hey, the question is, will he last that long? Because that's a brutal golf tournament. But that's a good point. You know what? There's something about I like his hair, but they're talking about he's got the greatest hair on tour, and he's what English, right? He's a UK guy, mm-hmm. British. And they were talking to him this morning, but I don't know. I like that pick, but I'm not too fond of the hair. It's not a golf look, golfer's look.
What do you make of them wearing shorts? Because this is a hot subject. I love it too. I don't know why people are bothered by this. It's ridiculous.
I think about this, you know, walking a golf course, and I don't walk, but I walked before. The thing about it is I think people don't understand how hard it is actually to walk 5 miles during a round when it's 120 degrees outside. Hey, it's all about comfort. I do think this, and then we'll promise everyone we'll get on to free agency and, you know, the big signing of the Dallas Cowboys this week and how happy you are about it. But there's something about having the pants – the shirt and that's your game day attire. But I think for just the whole comfort and as a golfer, it's got to be, you know, wear pants the whole, you know, for 18 holes and, you know, 4 hours. It's got to be ungodly hot.
I agree. And there's something to when you turn a corner on a course or whatever and you're kind of hot and you're wearing shorts and you just catch that breeze. You know what I'm saying? And it just like cools you off entirely.
Or just make that turn, and then you need to restock on the adult beverages and you know, get the air conditioning and everything. Those guys, they're out there working. But
agreed.
I think maybe they should change that. Hey, at least they get to wear shorts during the practice round. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you're out there practicing, all right? You should be able to wear what you want to wear. It's not officially – the tournament hasn't started.
Exactly. The world is changing. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I hope DJ pulls it off, but – I don't think that's going to be the case.
Tommy Fleetwood Mac.
So you mentioned Cowboys free agency, and maybe the reason why the players is so interesting to us is because there have been no real players for the Cowboys in free agency. So near the end of this week, this first week of free agency, the only real outside player that the Cowboys have brought in, they did bring in Cody McElroy, the tight end that played baseball that we talked about. But on Thursday, Tony...
Hey, wait a second. Hey, you don't have a tagline anymore.
I don't have a tagline?
Your whole deal is with Gathers.
He played basketball. The Cowboys just getting guys that play different
tight
sports.
Tight ends that are dual athletes.
Yeah, man. Maybe they'll find a guy, somebody that's playing in the players this year, Tony's going to be a Cowboys tight end next year.
But you know what? We got to remember, they're here to play football, not what they used to play, right? I thought I'd bring that point out to you.
So Cody's on the squad. And the Cowboys on Thursday brought in an interior defensive lineman. Generally, he's moved around a bit, but Christian Covington of the Houston Texans. Boom, Tony. You can't say the Cowboys are doing nothing. They got Christian Covington out of the football powerhouse that is Rice University.
Wait for it. That's a pregnant pause. Hey, there you go. That's making noise in the free agency for the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone, does that pacify? Does that get your free agent full for the week because they made this really drastic move?
I feel like like we're on a diet and we finally got to eat and we just got to eat like two French fries. You know what I mean? Like that was it. Like, and we're just like, cool. That was delicious. You know what I mean?
It's a big tease, but hey, this dude's not on a diet. 6'2", 310, plays inside the interior defensive lineman. So adds to that, I guess the rotation that they have inside. And look, you're not spending a ton of money. I mean, he's played in, you know, the, the same front as J.J. Watt and Jabadian Clowney. Everyone knows there's only really one that really equals to that type of player, and that's DeMarcus Lawrence. But, hey, you know what? If it's in crates and depth, and, you know, this is what they do.
Yeah.
You know, they bring guys in and that they, you know, they really need depth at, and they're not going to spend a lot of money. I think that we've already seen that right away.
I feel bad for Covington because he's going to be the victim of sarcasm, you know, like we're doing right now. Because it's not the guy's fault that the Cowboys aren't active in free agency, you know what I mean? But he's the guy that everyone jokes about, oh, we got one, whatever. By the way, Tony, the Cowboys now have Christian Covington and Chris Covington, defensive lineman and linebacker.
I know. How about that?
And Christian, the new addition, wears number 95, while Chris Covington, the linebacker, wears number 59.
What's the odds of that happening? Think it's about it.
Pretty unbelievable.
The same, the two players, the same, basically the same name, you know, Christian and Chris. I mean, you know, that's short for Christian for Chris, I guess, if that's what he does. And then the fact that both free agents, and you know, they both came in at the same time. Here's the thing about it. This is going to be the story. If he comes in and he, you know, again, they didn't spend a whole lot of money for him. All right. So if he comes in and he makes a contribution, everybody's going to say, wow, the Cowboys got a steal. You know, that's bound to happen. So there's not really a big expectation here.
There's not. And he's classic Rod Marinelli guy, under the radar. Rod Marinelli is going to come in and, you know, get his best season out of him. Maybe he'll go get paid by the Bears or somebody next year. I mean, that's what Rod Marinelli does. I mean, he churns. Think about all the defensive tackles that have played for Rod Marinelli while he's been with the Cowboys. I mean, he had Jason Hatcher, who made some headlines we can get into in a little bit. You know, he had Henry Melton, who they brought in, who went off to Tampa after that. I mean, he's obviously had Malik Collins to play around with. He obviously had Steven Paya that he brought in that lasted for a cup of coffee. Now he's got Malik Collins, who he's very high on. Antoine Woods is the latest guy that's come in and mm-hmm. become something special. You know, so he's really good at that. That's who Christian Covington is going to be.
Well, I mean, and unless there's someone out there that I can think of in free agency I'm missing on, there's really not any, I guess, impactful players and guys that are older. I guess the biggest name with name recognition is Ndamukong Suh, but what is he going to give you? He's probably going to give you just as much or less, and not, you know, I guess there's been a glimpse of him being able to play and ball to his younger form, but you look at that. I mean, you look at name recognition. There's not any dude out there that everyone like, oh wow, I know that name. They're bringing right. him in because you know people associate that. They always think they look at the name, but they don't know the time and, you know, the time frame of the their career in which, you know, which they're at. And, you know, these dudes that they brought in, the names you mentioned, Malik Collins and Antoine Woods and some of the younger guys. I mean, think about it. This, I think that they really, really need a good rotation. They need some presence, a pass rush inside.
They
really do. Because Tyrone Crawford, he can be your swing guy, but he's more of an outside rusher in my mind. And he's good inside because he's quick. He can get upfield, and that's really what they need. They need someone. Yeah, Christian Covington kind of reminds me more of a situational player,
yeah.
more of a run stopper. And, you know, we'll put him in there, and we'll get upfield. Maybe he can create some plays, you know, play action pass. But other than that, that's kind of the way I see his role.
No, I think, I mean, again, I think it's a good signing, actually, for the Cowboys. I think they need depth, certainly with the loss of David Irving. I think they still need to draft a defensive tackle. I wouldn't be shocked if that's where they're
going. Oh, I agree with you.
At 58.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, like, I would much rather have Christian Covington for one, you know, 50th of the price mm-hmm. of Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, so that's the big move, actually, for the Cowboys, that they brought in Christian Covington. We have seen them lose a couple of guys. We talked Cole Beasley, went to the Buffalo Bills. Damian Wilson, he who once had his eye shot by paintball, is now a Kansas City Chief. And Friday morning, Tony News,
Wait, I missed that part of his bio.
You don't remember that? That was like 2 years ago. He had a late start at training camp because he was shot in the
eye.
Right.
With the paintball?
Yeah.
So he must not have been practicing safety. He didn't have any goggles on or anything like that, or just one of those point blank situations.
Yes.
Anyway,
so good.
I had to catch you on that one. I thought maybe you were kind of embellishing a little bit.
Good luck to Damian with the Chiefs. Friday morning, Tony, the Cowboys lost another as Jeff Swaim agreed to terms with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know how they're going to get by without Jeff Swaim, honestly. I mean,
good for him. I hope. I don't know. I haven't looked at his deal, but you know, certainly that. I mean, we kind of knew that that was imminent. That was something they weren't going to bring him back, and you know, obviously, with bringing back you know, the goat again for one more last hurrah, I guess. But gives him an opportunity to go play somewhere in Jacksonville. And look, hey, he may be catching balls from Nick Foles.
Yeah,
I mean, he may have an opportunity to go to Jacksonville. And again, I think now it's just guys moving on and getting opportunities and being paid.
Yeah, I think his life was the most impacted by Witten returning, obviously. He and Rico Gathers eventually, because obviously the Cowboys are going to keep Blake Jarwin. They've obviously got Dalton Schultz. We'll see if they draft somebody as well. But Jeff Swaim, appreciate the work. The Cowboys, Tony, their main focus has been bringing guys back. That's what they said they were going to do. We're going to bring guys back. We got a lot of guys that need contracts. And while they haven't handed out big money to Dak or Zeke or DeMarcus Lawrence, they're doing work, Tony. All right. The Cowboys, they have brought back, since we last spoke, I believe we touched on them bringing back Jahmyr Olawale, the fullback of infamous fame in Indianapolis. They brought back Cam Fleming, who's a very valuable, you mentioned, swing position player. He's a very valuable swing tackle for the Cowboys because Tyron Smith's health is certainly a question mark. And they lost Cole Beasley, but they did not lose Tavon Austin. He is coming back. Do you feel like these are good re-signings, or are they just lukewarm water?
I like the Fleming. I think you have to have the depth at the position, without a doubt, tackle. And you mentioned Tyron Smith. The dude is ginormous. I mean, there's not too many grown men that can wear a knee brace elbow brace. I've never seen that in my entire life. That's scary. And then also the Colt Beasley with Tavon Austin, they bring Tavon back for one more year. And really that's, you know, we were talking about Colt Beasley leaving. So there's your slot receiver. You know, you know, Tavon fits that void right there. Mm-hmm. So you bring him back for one more year. But you just look at the economics of it. All the guys you just mentioned, I mean, it's probably minimal as far as bringing guys back. I mean, they got $19 million in cap space money, but you bring those cats back, and solidifies some depth with depth at the tackle spot, and then at the slot receiver, which Tavon can still do some things if he stays healthy. So I have no problem with that. And again, it's all about the economics of it. Doesn't cost them a whole lot of money.
I just I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just think this is a really, for lack of a better word, ballsy way to live. I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you don't have a first round draft pick, so you cannot add to your team in that conventional way.
Well, but wait a second. They've already got their first round draft pick. They got it last year.
That's true. I mean,
and they got a proven commodity, and also a guy that really made a huge contribution right away. So I don't think we should forget about that. I think people are just thinking about today and not looking back at what actually happened last season, which is going to set them up for the future.
Totally. And they do have Amari Cooper, and he is a valuable part of their team. He's one of their best players. And so, I mean, it's not like that just disappeared. I recognize that. My point in that they don't have a first-round draft pick is that they don't have that way to add a month from now, when all NFL teams pick in the first round, not all, but most, they won't get somebody. That's really the point here. And so right now, you know, they're the biggest name, the biggest talent that is joining the 2018 Cowboys is, say for Jason Witten, Christian Covington. And so right now that's bold. I mean, that's, you know, they clearly have a strong belief in their team. And if it pays off, it pays off. But I do think it is a bold way to live.
Well, I understand that, but I think we talked about this last week, RJ, when you go out there and look at the list of free agencies or free agents and you buy a free agency, I mean, who are you going to you got your board, you look at the guys you lost and the guys you're going to bring back. Mm-hmm. What guys are out there right now that are left that fits your pay scale for this year. How are you going to add? Where do you want to add those guys? Do you just want to, for just the sake of bringing someone in and like, okay, we know what we need. We need help. Right. Let's get another defensive tackle. Let's get a free safety. Let's get another tackle. I mean, there's not too many of those cats out there right now that people don't know about.
Right. Well, let's do this.
Or that will actually know, because all the other names, I mean, they may know them, but they're guys that are in their 30s and they're kind of beyond that second contract, if you will, that you make, or that first contract you make that really, really solidifies you financially.
So let's do this. In your opinion, what are the three biggest positions of need on the Cowboys now that free agency is a little over? I think obviously tight end has been, for the time, has some duct tape on it with Jason Witten. So I don't think that's a huge position of need as far as 2019.
Which I still think they should draft a tight end.
Totally.
But that's changed the whole need.
Right.
Considering he came back.
Slot receiver is a big time need, even though Tavon's coming back, because you don't know how the guy played 7 games last year. And to be fair, maybe he could have played more. We kind of thought maybe the Cowboys were saving him for the playoffs. But again, the guy did get hurt. Defensive tackle's a big need. And safety's a big need. So right there, there's at least three positions of serious need, right?
Well, I hate to break the news to you, but defensive end. I mean, you lost Randy Gregory. You defensive tackle, at least you have a rotation of dudes inside. And you bring Christian Covington in to add to what you already have there. But – I mean, the more concern is what other rusher are you going to get on the edge to tandem up with DeMarcus Lawrence?
And that's
where are they going to get that outside rush? They know Randy Gregory, he's gone. And so all of a sudden, they need a lot more than, before Randy Gregory decided he would rather smoke pot. So
right. My
point is you got to address that, because I think without the rush, without the capability of creating some opportunities for your secondary, then, whatever you do in the back end, it may help things, solidify things, but I think you got to address that. Now, on the offensive side, slot receiver. But I think that can be kind of patched up, or maybe not a Band-Aid, but you can find guys in the slot. Maybe
sure.
A guy, Danny Amendola, the type of player, he's out there. I mean, I don't know.
Well, he's with the Lions now, so he's.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad. He's off the market. That was what he signed like 2 days ago.
Yeah, he was early.
Okay, well, take him off my free agent list. So he's not available. But my point is, guys like that,
right.
And so, but I mean, I think now when I look at it, it's all on the defense again, because
guys
are no longer there.
So, and that's kind of where I'm sitting. And I'm not trying to say that every NFL team has answers at every position and the Cowboys are the only broken one. But looking at the Cowboys specifically, the reason I think that they're being kind of ballsy is because, so they only have, you mentioned pass rush and defensive end. They have to get over a hurdle in DeMarcus Lawrence's contract just to get to the problem you described, because the problem you described involves getting there, which involves getting a long-term contract for DeMarcus.
It's all predicated off what they do with DeMarcus Lawrence.
So that's one point here. Mm-hmm. But so we mentioned, we'll call it four different positions that need some work, and the Cowboys have one pick in the top 60, and it's 58th overall. And so, again, I realize Amari Cooper's on the team, but that's where I'm talking about. They don't have a first-round draft pick. So right now, just today is March 15th, but today, what is the answer at slot receiver? Probably Tavon Austin and Allen Hurns. That's a little bold, right? And what's the answer opposite of DeMarcus Lawrence if Randy Gregory is not there? Probably Tyrone Crawford and maybe Taco Charlton. That's a little bold. What's the answer at safety? Xavier Woods, which I think everybody has some belief in, but, he's obviously not Earl Thomas, so he, is just fighting a legend in that regard. And Jeff Heath, that's a little bold. And then what's your answer in the middle of the defensive line? It's Christian Covington. And you have Rod Marinelli, so that makes things a little bit better. That's not as bold as the other things, but still a little bold. And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, I agree with you. Don't go get somebody just to get somebody. But they clearly have a large level of belief in the guys they have being able to be the answers at so many different positions.
Well, and I'm going to go back to the last year's season on defense. And I'm not – and I think you brought up the Jacksonville Jaguars as a prime example from 2017 to 2018 weren't the same team. And who's to say each team is going to you know, we really can't predict what they'll be like the following year. Things happen. But I think on the defensive side, you got, you know, got, you know, younger guys getting older, learning the system and getting better. You bring in, you know, you hit a home run, it looks like, with Leighton Van Der Esch. I mean, the dude's going to be tremendous. So, you know, the combination of that. So those are the things you really, really kind of, you know, hope and you know, your whole philosophy and everything. That's your goal, to make sure those guys develop. But, I mean, you know, the whole, you know, the spending money and everything that goes along with that. Now, I mean, for me, when you mentioned the slot receiver, which you made me think, I think you can really, really work around that, because you can put different guys in the slot position.
Sure.
You know, guys that are faster. You maybe a Michael Gallup, an Allen Hurns, someone that has some, even, you know, throw, you can throw Amari Cooper in there. But you can make, you can change different things. Now, the thing what I may like about that is that when you have Cole Beasley, certainly he's a slot receiver. So, you know, you kind of anticipate what the offense, you know, routes and everything like that. So I'm not as concerned, considering you just kind of made me think about that. I'm not really concerned about the slot receiver, because in space and Tavon and just the other personnel they may have, that they can utilize that position.
Mm-hmm. I agree that there are more pressing needs. I'm probably at this point more worried about safety.
Not a really just labeled slot receiver. I think we just kind of get fixated with that.
Yeah.
Maybe the body, you know, the shorter guys. We got to blame it on Wes Welker. Didn't he kind of make the slot receiver really vogue, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Well, really, really vogue. And, I mean, it's always been vogue, but you know what I mean.
Well, and we're living,
that type of body type.
We're living at a time where the reigning Super Bowl MVP is Julian Edelman. I mean, so,
exactly.
But it is valuable. And while I agree with you, I mean, it's maybe not as big of a need as other things. You only have one pick in the top 60. So you can only address one of these places. And, you know, that's where it is ballsy to live this way. It's ballsy in that they must believe to a large degree in a combination of Xavier Woods, Allen Hurns in the slot. Because Allen Hurns, just like you got to get over the DeMarcus Lawrence hurdle, Allen Hurns has got to get over that horrific leg injury just to be able to be healthy enough to play in the slot.
I forgot about that. A lot of people have amnesia when they think about, you know, that whole thing. But according to all the medical staff and the trainers, he should be good to go.
I want to talk about what Jason Hatcher said about the Cowboys. But before I do, we mentioned Taco Charlton as a guy the Cowboys are going to be counting on this season. I think that goes without saying. I mean, it's his third year, former first-round draft pick. You've talked before about how you've heard some things about how he has, for lack of a better way to put it, attitude issues. And that's come out in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Taco's been on Twitter a lot lately. He's quoted some videos on Twitter of himself saying, "See, I can do this," whatever, and trying to pump himself up. And I get it. I mean, the guy's dealt with a lot of criticism, and nobody should really have to do that. But, you know, Ryan Switzer, former Cowboys receiver, had his own tweet defending himself and said, you know, if I saw 65 to 70% of the snaps, I would, you know, I could show you what I could do. And Taco kind of echoed that sentiment. Friday morning, somebody tweeted at Taco and said that he was an amazing player and asked, "Have you ever thought about playing 3-tech? A lot of people have thrown out the idea of Taco kicking inside. And he quoted that tweet in a sarcastic manner and said, "I was thinking more of a box safety." You tell me if I'm coming out of left field here. I get he's being sarcastic, obviously, but I don't, it, for whatever reason, I'm not thrilled with Taco, you know, getting testy and you know, fighting a little bit on Twitter. Like, dude, just play. You know,
you're setting yourself up for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you Taco, like, I get it, man. That would not be cool. But you're not going to change people's minds by being sarcastic on Twitter. Like, people only want to see one thing, and that's an unfair reality, but it is the reality.
I can't echo my happiness for you know, not having that – us not having that social media back when I was playing, because it would be, if you really would just want to go right to negativity, just start, you know, go to your Twitter account and you can just get as much negativity as you want to have. And mm-hmm. having to like refrain from responding to that. You know, if I'm Taco, I'm just doing like, I'm being quiet. I'm doing whatever training I'm doing. Cause you know what? Ultimately it comes down to proving it to yourself. And then you got to prove it to everyone else, because whatever you've done in the off season, whatever you've done to take yourself seriously and take the game and your profession seriously, it's going to show up.
Yeah.
But my sources and people that I've talked about is a guy, he thinks he's better than he is. He thinks he's already DeMarcus Lawrence. And, you know, I hate to, you know, to get on and rip a guy with the first name Taco, because that's like one of my, you know, that's my number one
awesome.
Foodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? You know, sometimes I've had some bad tacos, and right now he's not being one of he's being one of those mediocre ones, the ones that you maybe get at a fast food restaurant. But, you know, for him, he just needs to worry about what he needs to do to make himself better, whether it's, if it's mentally, you know, you got to get over that. That's the hardest part in our game, is the mental toughness and being able to shoulder and handle that negativity. Don't let that stuff seep in.
Yeah.
And I hope, and they need him. You know what? Here's the thing about Taco. He needs to be as humbled as much as possible. And hopefully he's been humbled the last 3 years. Because I think a lot of people are thinking, just like everyone might remember, it's just like free agency, mm-hmm. RJ. I mean, 3 years ago, we had to have a defensive end pass rusher, a guy that was a stud. Well, guess what? They drafted Taco Charlton. It was one of the, you know, the hottest selling jerseys, because they're bringing in a guy named Taco, mm-hmm. and he was going to help, you know, bring this, you know, hopefully team up with someone like DeMarcus Lawrence, with the guys they already had on there. And guess what's happened? To right now, it's been a disappointment, almost a, I would consider a bust.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at the other first-round draft picks the Cowboys have had. He's nowhere in that. I mean, you know, you look all the way back since 2010, you've got Dez and Tyron, and Mo Claiborne had some struggles, but at least showed some talent.
Right. I understand being a little sensitive, because I was the number two pick in the draft, and I felt like, you know, I felt like I was, you know, didn't live up to the expectations of the fans, or, you know, and I had to fight through that.
Right.
But for him, he needs to – and that's the thing with social media. He just needs to get down in the bunker and do whatever he needs to do and shadow someone like DeMarcus Lawrence, who's had issues. But, you know, that's a concern now, because all of a sudden now the Cowboys are faced with – and then it's even Charles Tapper. They drafted him, and he's yet to be on the field. And I don't know what the situation is with him, but there's two cats right there that they really, really needed to – make a contribution and have yet to do that.
Charles is out of the picture, but they do have Dorrance Armstrong, the rookie from
out of
Kansas.
Yep.
You know, the mighty also football powerhouse that is Kansas.
Hey, who cares?
But
hey,
yeah.
There's been some players come out of Kansas or whatever, Emporia State.
But I think that
I eat beyond let.
Yeah, I think that's obviously what rubs Taco the wrong way, is that a fourth round draft pick out of Kansas last year, people already value over him. He's this first round draft pick out of the University of Michigan.
He needs to get over that.
I agree. Like I'm not trying to be picky about this. I feel like Taco's on Twitter fighting a battle that he cannot win. You know, like,
you're talking about being ultra sensitive on Twitter, and come on, dude.
That's like,
I mean, you're setting yourself up for just you're self-inflicting. You're like, you're committing social media suicide by looking for that.
It's I don't know, man. I just like sharing his highlights on Twitter and, you know, whatever. It's just, dude.
I mean, I don't follow him. Maybe that's probably because I don't follow some players, because, you know, me sometimes I have an opinion, but maybe it's guys like that. I mean, especially when they're doing that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm glad you're in the gym working out or whatever you're doing. But you know what? Let's see it on the football field where we can actually use that, utilize that. Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about his work ethic in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Have you heard? I don't think anyone's heard about him not working out or doing anything like that. I mean, I haven't heard anything about that. It's all just been associated with what he's done on the field.
I know that last year he was training with DeMarcus Lawrence at one point. So there is that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully.
Maybe he thinks it's like, you know, you're not a $17 million player right now.
Well,
you know, maybe you can aspire to be that way. And that's the problem, RJ. And I think we talked about this last year on the show during the season, that's who he thinks he is, who he is right now, should be treated like that.
Right.
Dude, you haven't done anything yet in the National Football League to be able to be treated that way or even be considered. You got to earn that.
He, when Cole Beasley, you know, had his goodbye tweet, you know, to Cowboys fans, like whatever, Taco quoted it and said, I'm really, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to just like pick at everything the guy does. I don't want this to sound that way, but he quoted it and said something like, we never got to do our taco sauce celebration, which would have been cool. I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like, dude, see, like, you know, and again, it's one tweet, but like, dude, there's a lot of other things that you have to do before you can get to talking about celebrations. But
especially, you know, when you got a podcast and both the hosts are Hispanic, you know, we know a lot about tacos and everything else like that. But, you know, the squirrel and the taco, I don't know. I don't know if that'd be a good combination.
So Taco wears number 97, just like a former Cowboy Tony in Jason Hatcher, another defensive lineman. We mentioned him a little while ago as somebody Rod Marinelli got paid. This was a gigantic story all over the place. Hatcher was on 105.3 The Fan this week with Ben and Skin. And, you know, talking about some stuff, how's your life now after football, you know. He said he was, I think his son plays baseball, and he's really into that, good for him. And then they got into his days with the Cowboys, and he just eviscerated Tony Romo. I mean, just for no reason. You know, first he hated on Dak for a second and said that, hated is strong. But he said, you know, he needs to prove it to whatever. And then out of nowhere, he just says, Romo just didn't have the it factor to make people around him better. When I was there, he was bigger than the team. It was like Romo and then the team. Like, nobody in the locker room is really going to respect you like that. So I really don't respect him as a player based on what he did to the team that a lot of people didn't see. He was a great player. He got all the numbers, but I'll take Dak over Romo any day because Dak has the ability to make people around him better. You will run through a wall for Dak, but Romo, hell no. This is something that your buddy Darren Woodson kind of said, although nowhere near as aggressively, at the end of December. Your thoughts?
Well, personally, I think it's a lot easier to make comments and really just rip your former teammates once you've been out of the league for, I mean, I don't know how long he retired. A couple of years ago, his last stint was like with the Redskins.
Right.
Anyway, my point is that I always, you know, for me, maybe it's just because of me and you know, maybe the guys that I play with or just who I am. You know, I always thought if you have a problem with someone, mm-hmm. then you address that. And so, one thing about it, I'd like to ask Jason this. When's it ever been different? When is the quarterback, and now certainly with the way they pay quarterbacks, mm-hmm. hasn't been the face of the franchise or that carried the franchise? Look around all these different teams that are getting paid $20 to $30 million. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they, you know, not bigger. I mean, you could make a case for that, but that's who, you know, that's what the franchise builds their whole brand around. And I don't know where, I'm sorry, I thought he'd been in the league a few years and looked around and like realized that, dude, every team you go to has that type of philosophy.
Yeah.
And you're just now realizing that once you've been out of retirement football. And the whole deal with, you know, respect for not having respect for a quarterback. Well, you know, first of all, you need to think about yourself. Think about your job. And I'm just trying to go back with Jason when Jason Hatcher played. I don't think I really remember. I know DeMarcus Ware was a tremendous player. Jason at times was good and played well. But I don't remember a team that really, really lit it up when it came to winning NFC championships or, you know, anything else like that. And to the point of Tony Romo, I mean, you know, I've been around different leaders. I've been around different guys that, you know, lead on the field and maybe aren't the most personal guys. But I never really heard anybody say anything about Tony Romo because, you know what, it's all about what you do on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, and, you know, Tony Romo, he put up the numbers and, you know, he didn't make the clutch plays at times. But to me, I think he validates himself as a Ring of Honor candidate.
Yeah.
And what's that say about, you know, his contribution to a franchise that, you know, that was bigger than the franchise? Well, hello, Jason. It's been like that forever in the National Football League. Are you just now noticing that now?
Yeah.
2015, 2019?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of shocking to be surprised that the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys would be larger than life. And a lot of what he said was really weird. For example, you know, when he was talking about Dak, he said, "I think Dak should be on the franchise tag, not DeMarcus Lawrence." And that's literally not possible. So, like, I mean, his understanding of things might be a little loose.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I mean, for example, and I'm not trying to trash.
He's a D lineman. I'll always stand up for my defensive lineman, but that's unrealistic.
I'm not trying to trash Jason Hatcher by any means, but I take the word of Darren Woodson, for example, a lot more seriously than I do Hatcher, because Woody was a leader in his own right. I mean, this is just, I mean, I don't mean to put it this way, but a random defensive lineman from those teams coming out and talking about this. And, you know, that's why when Darren Woodson said it, it was kind of, you know, it kind of raised your eyebrows, but he obviously didn't put it like this. He just said, and I think what Woody said is true, that Dak is just closer to the guys on average.
Yeah, he's without
just,
a doubt.
You know, he's just better friends. That's really what it boils down to. He's better friends with guys on average than Romo was. And that doesn't say anything other than that he's just maybe a better friend. And I can totally buy how that makes you believe in him, whatever. But this idea that Romo was just this, you know, egotistical, you know, maniac or whatever is absurd. And it felt like, you know, Hatcher just kind of got down, you know, on this path and just kind of turned on some blinders and really, really, really went far. He also went as far as suggesting that Jason Garrett sabotaged Wade Phillips. A lot of people have floated that idea out in conspiracy theories, but his way of defending it was ridiculous. He, you know, his own argument, he said, you know, we were running three plays, and it was like, dude, what? I mean, you know, it just didn't make sense.
It just looked like he was just trying to just throw stuff on the wall and just hopefully something would stick. And, you know, back to the whole deal. And I think I may have spoke about this or talked about this on our show. Is when, you know, Troy Aikman to me was, you know, to me, he is a tremendous quarterback, and he's a good dude. And, you know, I have so much respect for what he has done on and off the field. I mean, he does so many philanthropy things and everything else that people don't know about. But I just know, you know, Troy wasn't the most personable guy. Mm-hmm. I never went out to beers, and we didn't collectively, you know, there was points where, you know, Troy seemed stoic. You know, in a constructive way where, look, you know, he's focused on football. I mean, that's his personality. You know, Troy and you know, you're younger, but I mean, you heard the stories about him with the media. He wasn't the most personable guy. And the first thing that people said when he became a broadcaster is, wow, that's Troy Aikman, because of the personality started coming out. So, yeah, but, you know, the perception with the players, you know, maybe Troy doesn't like me, or maybe he thinks he's better than the team. No. That was, you know, no one really, they may have thought that. And, you know, certainly he was bigger, you know, he was larger than life or larger than the franchise, because look what he did. You know, he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer and three Super Bowls and, you know, just everything that he did. So I don't think you interpret that as negativity, that, look, you know, he doesn't want to hang out with the fellas and go have a cold beer afterwards. I mean, hey, didn't matter. Look what he did. And people love Troy. So, yeah, I think that in the personality, yeah, I think you have a guy that has like to hang out with the fellas, but then plays on the field. I mean, what better relationship could you ask for? Because most quarterbacks, they're unique. They don't gravitate and hang out with the fellas. I mean, they're just kind of unique. They have to be focused. I mean, it's a lot, you incorporate a lot more responsibility that a lot of other players, you know, can't do. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do as a player because the position you play. But as a quarterback, you got a lot on your shoulder, man. There's a lot of right on the line. I would never want to be a quarterback. To be scrutinized and be vilified, and you know, it's a tough position. And they every dollar that they make, they earn, especially if they're the great ones.
I agree. I think using Troy is a great example. Again, just because, you know, I don't know, but I do think, you know, because we've heard from several, you know, different people, I think that maybe there's some truth to the fact that maybe Romo wasn't the most personable guy. But, you know, and that's why I think the truth is a lot closer to where Darren Woodson, you know, laid it out.
Yeah.
And just because Darren Woodson
makes a lot more sense. Yeah, yes, it sure does.
Woody wasn't like, oh, I don't respect him. It was just, hey, you know what, man? You know, from what I can tell, from what I've heard, whatever, they're just closer to Dak. And I can totally buy that. But this whole, like, oh, I didn't respect Romo thing, and, you know, I just
he did win a lot of games. I mean, he did.
The guy,
all they had.
The guy certainly was more responsible for Cowboys' success than Jason Hatcher. In fact, Jason Hatcher's last team or last year in Dallas, the 2013 season, that 2013 Cowboys were literally one of the worst defenses to ever play football. And you know,
my point. Once you worry about your job, worry about winning, and worry about being able to coexist and accomplish something on your side. And actually the biggest part of this, the component of that, is worry about winning.
Right.
And I was seeing 2013 at defense. And wasn't that Wade Phillips?
Rob Ryan's.
Oh, okay. Defense. So before Rob, that was after that. But the whole deal with the Jason Garrett, this conspiracy to undermine him. First of all, if he's needs to point someone out, he needs to point out to the owner. Because they kept Jason Witten. They brought him as an offensive coordinator. He's being paid at the time, I believe, was the highest paid offensive coordinator in the National Football League.
Yeah, they brought
that
him
wasn't
in.
Wade. That had nothing to do with Wade Phillips.
They brought him in before they brought in Wade after the 07 season, made him the highest paid offensive coordinator because the Ravens and Falcons both wanted him to be their head coach.
They got a bid more for him.
It just felt
fact checking, man.
Yeah, I'm sure
you check your facts every once in a while.
I'm sure there's some maybe not truth, but some interesting data here. But it just felt like really weird, you know, stuff to say, honestly. The other big topic this week, Tony, because the Cowboys refused to sign any players and give us anything fun to talk about, there was a report. This all centered around Teddy Bridgewater, who has decided to return to the New Orleans Saints. Now, he originally had decided to return, but then got second thoughts and was considering the Miami Dolphins, who need a quarterback. That might be where Kyler Murray ends up. We'll see. But the reason that was reported by Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he had a tweet that Teddy was giving some more thought to Miami than originally, was because he and his camp sort of feared that next year, because if Teddy returns to New Orleans, which ultimately did, he's obviously the future starter, but that Teddy was worried about that future because next year Sean Payton could be leaving to coach the Dallas Cowboys. So again, if you're Teddy and you say, okay, you know what, 2020 is going to be my year, Drew's going to retire, well, wait a minute, Sean Payton's going to be gone, hold up, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But again, the interesting point for us is that it's another link between Sean Payton and the Dallas Cowboys. And I'll just lay out this conspiracy theory for you. And because we've been talking that with Jason Hatcher and whatever. I mentioned that I do, and I believe this, that I do think it's very ballsy of the Cowboys to handle their team the way they're handling it now. And maybe they just believe in themselves, and good for them if they prove me wrong. But they're not bringing in many outside free agents. They don't have a first-round draft pick. They're giving Jason Garrett a rookie offensive coordinator who was a backup quarterback 2 years ago. Jerry Jones has flip-flopped so many times on the idea. Remember back after they beat the Jaguars, he wanted to give him an extension right then? He said a few weeks later, hey, how can you not give him one? Look at what he's doing. And then all of a sudden, Super Bowl week, gets cold feet, says, nope, we're not going to do it. He's going to, you know, go this season on his contract year. We'll see what happens. He's got to earn it. That, to me, I could buy it. I really could. So I don't know.
So he's saving his coins. He's, you know, he's not spending any money. He's making all these decisions because he knows that after the season.
The conspiracy would be that they're setting the Cowboys up to be bad so that he has more justification to fire Jason Garrett. That would be the conspiracy.
Wow, I didn't even look. I was looking at more of the financial and everything else. And, you know, this, you know, this, I guess you're looking at the mission, the failure, and in the event they fail, that this whole conspiracy, which, by the way, how many years has this been out there about Sean Payton coming?
Forever.
So as long as Sean keeps winning, and Drew Brees is still there, I don't see this happening. I mean, I don't know. Drew Brees looks like he could play. He looks like he's taking the same organic supplements that Tom Brady's taking. And so he may be around another 5 years.
Well, it all kind of lines up, though, doesn't it? I mean,
well, I mean, 2020
could be.
That's why I love you on this show, man, because you always you open up this new like Pandora's box of
some
of the things I don't even think about. But I don't think that, first of all, I think Jerry realizes that he's not young anymore. And so he needs to be able to kind of write this ship out and hopefully the players he has and you know, intact that, you know, this is going to be the team that's going to get him where he wants to go because, you know, he's 77 or 76 years old. And so I hate to, I don't really buy into those type of conspiracies. Now, you know, it would be great, Sean Payton. I mean, he'd be a tremendous, you know, offensive mind and everything that goes along with that. But I just don't – I don't see that happening. I think that really that maybe Kellen Moore will be pleasant – will hopefully be pleasantly surprised to see what he does. But this whole notion that, Sean Payton is being talked about being a coach and, you know, be the next heir apparent to Jason Garrett, I just don't buy any of that because there's – time is running out. I mean, this is a thing – they're built right now and – you know, here we are. I know you're very happy about this huge signing with Christian Covington. By the way, that's times two. I know you're very – that pacifies. Gets you, but I really think that they really feel like they have players in place. And the only thing – the negative thing I'm going to say about the Cowboys is some of these guys they give so many damn chances to that they trusted. I mean, just really took advantage of them and really just was a huge complete failure when you talk about the David Irvings and the Randy Gregorys of the world. And, you know, I know it's a personal thing with the drug addiction or anything, whatever that may be, but I think they really, really hoped that those guys, you had those two cats to hit on. Think about that.
That roster would be so
both
different.
Those guys would have just, you know, everything would have worked out the way we hopefully anticipated. You had David Irving, you had Randy Gregory. There's your answer right there.
Sure. I don't disagree with that. I find it very interesting that after the Cowboys beat the Jaguars in October, it was rumored that they were working on an extension. And then after the Cowboys beat the Seahawks in the wild card round, Jerry Jones said on 105.3, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? You know, in other words, saying like, dude, the guy just won a playoff game. Like, how can I not extend him? And then a month later, does an about face and says, no, we're going to make him, you know, because he went from, if you were in my shoes, what would you do, to, we're not going to extend him. He's going to, you know, he's going to ride this year out. And again, the coincidence of 2020 and Drew Brees potentially retiring and that giving Sean Payton the, you know, ability to move on from New Orleans. His contract is up in as the Saints head coach, and Jason Garrett's contract is up as the Cowboys head coach. That just strikes me as incredibly coincidental.
Well, it's coincidental, but I understand Teddy Bridgewater for not wanting to, and I understand him wanting to go back and play for the Saints. I mean, he gave up money to not go to Miami,
right?
And the whole, you know, his whole journey, the injury in Minnesota, and then finding a home in New Orleans. I think. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Teddy Bridgewater, I'm worrying about today. I really can't really count on the future. But I want to be in a place where I can prosper. Mm-hmm. And I think going to Miami, I just think that's not a toxic environment, but it's an environment where they still have some pieces to the puzzle to get. And I think it's going to be a long time before they get to really their contending just based on the coaching change and based on, changes in personnel and not having really a quarterback there.
Well, the Sean Payton to Dallas rumor is the new Earl Thomas to Dallas rumor. So good news is we have a new thing.
Well, I do know this. The timing's good. Sean Payton, if his contract, he doesn't have one for next year and the Cowboys just –
that's what I'm saying, you know, dude. It makes
well,
sense.
Well, yeah, but I think that, you know, you get back to the Jerry thing. I don't have a problem. I didn't think they should extend, you know, Jason's contract. I mean, you want to read into it, but he's had what? Oh, it's been so long. It seems like he's been here for 20 years. But
this will be his, what, 10th season?
10th season?
Ninth full season.
Ninth full season. I mean, think about that. That's a long time for someone to win one, what, how many playoff games?
He has two playoff victories.
Two playoff games? I mean, yeah. Consider him very lucky to even get the chance to even continue coaching, you know, up to that point.
But that's what I'm saying. So, you know, it's agreed upon that, you know.
But,
okay,
you know, the things are unconventional. You know, they should have been following this team for you know, it's not an unconventional wisdom here.
They are unconventional. But if it was you, if it was you and you knew that your entire career basically hinged on this season, you're the Cowboys head coach. And you knew that even though you have Amari Cooper, you don't have a first-round draft pick, you have one pick in the top 60, would you sit on your hands in free agency? If it was me, I would be saying, look, dude, I might not be here next year. This is not my money. We're going to go get however much help I can get to make us good. It's an awfully weird kind of complacency.
Well, I look at it this way. Jason Garrett's going on his ninth full season, okay? He's been here. He's made a lot of money here. He's won two playoff games. If he gets fired next year, guess what? If Jason Garrett wants a head coaching job, he'll have a head coaching job the year after. Book that right now.
That's interesting.
So are you worried if you're Jason Garrett? Yeah, I mean, I'd like to stay here another 9 years. I'd like to I'd like to stay here for 20 years in Dallas. But look around you. It's kind of like Jason Hatcher. Look around you. What's the longevity for a head coach in the National Football League?
Sure.
You'd be surprised. And him to make a long look, I you know, as much as I love your conspiracy, and I think it's, hey, sounds good to me. I mean, it'd be an interesting Netflix show. I just don't think Jason Garrett's really worried about his situation on having a contract, because guess what? He will have a job. There'll be plenty of jobs for Jason Garrett if he's not the Cowboys coach here. He's not the coach here in 2 years.
Well, so then it comes down to being one of two things, and we won't know the answer for some time. But the answer one is the conspiracy theory is true, that Jerry's, you know, orchestrating everything so that it leads to Sean Payton 2020. That's, you know, whatever. Believe that if you want. Answer number two is that
Jason, are you going to tweet that out today?
I've tweeted it a couple times. I wrote about it.
Go ahead and retweet it and tag me. I want to comment on this.
But option number two is that Jason Garrett is, you know, option two has an A and a B. 2A is that Jason Garrett is either A, so confident in what he already has with the Cowboys that he feels, you know what, I've got what it takes to get it done here. We don't really got to make that many moves, whatever. Option 2B is that he feels, you know what, man, we got some stuff. Whatever happens, happens. Like Tony said, I'm going to be a head coach next season no matter what. If I got to pack up and move, whatever, man, I can move. Moving's not that bad. I'll pay somebody to do it. I made a lot of money, like Tony said. So that's what I'm saying. There's one of these things has to be true. Just based on everything, and I'm excited to find out which one it is.
Yeah, I am too. So the meter is running on your conspiracy.
Well, this was a good time. We appreciate all of you joining us. Tony predicted that Dustin Johnson will win the players. I don't think he's going to be right, although I really hope that he is.
American born, baby.
Let's go, DJ. Get it done. Take down. Let's hope DJ gets it done on Sunday. Final pairing against Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, that would be great. Wouldn't that be a great shootout?
On St.
And come
Patrick's
down
Day.
To what, the island, was it Island Green on, was that 16?
17.
17, man. How about that hole?
Call it a percentage. What percent of golfers will wear green on Sunday? Because it's St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know. I don't know how many of them really would celebrate it. Well, obviously, I think Rory McIlroy, he's Irish. He's going to wear it, right?
Rory better wear, we mentioned your Notre Dame cap.
He'll be the walking shamrock,
yeah,
right?
He better wear the whole Notre Dame get up.
Exactly.
You know, show up to the first tee. I'm saying like 70% of dudes going to have some green.
Oh, I'm going under on that.
Okay.
I'm going 50%.
Well, I hope.
I hope they do. I hope they get in the spirit of it. It would be great.
It would be awesome. It would make sense. So we'll see what happens.
There's going to be a lot of green beer served on Sunday. What's the percentage of that?
1,000. So... there will be green beer and green. What's your favorite green food?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd have to go with Brussels sprouts. Are they green? Right?
That's disgusting. That's a horrible answer. God, that's disgusting. I was going to
The reason why I ask you that, because there's this recipe where you can actually, you kind of brown them and toast them a little bit, and they're really good. Did you love that answer?
My wife now loves Brussels sprouts.
How about money? I love money.
That's a good, that's my favorite thing. That's a good one. But sometimes you get checks and they're tan. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how about your, what's your,
I
have to go with Caesar salad or
Caesar salad. Caesar salad's great. I love asparagus. I love green beans.
Oh, I love asparagus too.
Broccoli's great.
Too healthy. I thought we need to find, there's not too many, think about it. There's not too many food that I can think of that is healthy that's green.
And I tell you what, I can fix this.
Depends on what you put on the green, like in a salad, man. It'll start off with 10 calories, but man, I can develop into about 1,000 calorie meal.
I can fix this.
So much stuff on there.
You said we're both Hispanic guys. Some green sauce on some enchiladas.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Now, that's considered green.
There we go.
Spinach enchiladas.
Yeah. Just like Popeye ate them.
Exactly.
So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back early next week. This was the 750.